KID crew, as you know, I have launched my passion project, the Justice Shuffle. It's all about keeping hope alive. And so I wanted to have a conversation with Sergeant Brian Lovell from the Bonneville County Sheriff's Office about cold cases and some of the exciting things that are coming about. Sergeant Lovell, thanks so much. It's always fun to have you in studio.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So with these cold cases, I think there's a lot of misconception that the public has. Let's go ahead right off the bat and shatter some stereotypes. What stereotype can you shatter?
Well, you know, probably the biggest one is that, you know, people consider those things inactive. And really, they're not. Yeah, you come to dead ends and places where you can only go so far. You've gone as far as you can go with what you know now, or suspect, right? And so those cases never become inactive. They're always active. So our cold cases from decades ago, you know, they travel as detectives come and go and retire and move on. Those cases travel and stay active within our detective unit. So all of ours, and it's similar in other agencies too, they're assigned to someone to pick that up and go. And that's a good thing. You've got a new pair of eyes. Every once in a while, you can put resources to kind of take a fresh look at things. And, you know, and of course, you know, we were talking before about the evolution of technology and things that are available now. You know, a fresh pair of eyes and looking at that can take evidence that you've gathered from those things and apply it to new technology that might give you some more direction to go and lead you closer to a resolution.
The technology is very exciting and pretty precise. I know you mentioned you have had some breaks that have come about as a result of this expanded technology.
Yeah, very recently, back in April of this year, there was a bone, a tibia bone, I believe, that was discovered in about 2009 in the Snake River, just into Jefferson County. And so we've had that and collected it. Of course, we identified it as a human bone. It belongs to somebody. And, you know, ultimately, the ability for, I think it was a university in Texas that, you know, had the technology and equipment to go and take that bone and analyze it and build a DNA profile that they could match to someone. And so ultimately, they took that, built that profile, led it to the Heath family, and was able to identify that that bone belonged to Wayne Heath. And Wayne Heath had went missing, I believe, in the I think in the late 80s. I might have the date wrong, but he had been fishing and fell in the Snake River, and his body was never recovered. And so that began in our county, and then, you know, downstream, you know, years and years later, this bone is discovered. And, you know, we've had that, you know, preserved in evidence as best we can for a long, long time. And it takes considerable amount of time to do analysis on that. But ultimately, with the help of this technology and some of these research places, they identify, you know, a family or a family line that belongs to. And it gives, you know, detectives, investigators, the ability to backtrack that and narrow that in. And, you know, that's just one recent one.
Yeah, that familial DNA is really important in helping build that line of, you know, identifying. Yeah. I can only imagine how his family must have felt after all these years.
Yeah, because we get frustrated as investigators, right? Everybody that holds those cases, you know, you get to dead ends a lot. Leads come in every once in a while, or this technology comes in and you apply your evidence to it and it might tell you something, but it still may lead you to a dead end. That's nothing compared to families that are just, you know, waiting. You know, they get very frustrated, and, you know, they carry that with them through their lives. It's their family member, and we recognize the importance of that to them. And so it can get frustrating over time when you get in a direction and you get excited about it and then end up with nothing still, right? But, you know, the detectives that pick these up and the people that work these and apply that, you know, they've they've got a passion for trying to make ends meet on that and find some resolution. It's very, very satisfying when they do, and it's a big relief. And I can't imagine the relief that, you know, families feel when you get there, especially, you know, when you've had years and years of frustration. And they may have, you know, had some level of acceptance and things like that, but, you know, it when it just always remains a mystery and you don't know, you know, that's got to be frustrating being in that position.
That not knowing can really nag at you. And I know over the years, as I've interviewed victims' families, that's one thing that always stands out is that they really never lose that quest to know, to have
hope,
those answers.
Hope there.
Yeah, the hope.
And, you know, in the course of that, when we've, you know, over the years, and with the Amber Hoops case, you know, that's a call that I went to, was my call in the beginning, and I was involved in some aspects of it. A lot of our people did a lot more good work, and I was just on the sidelines and outside kind of being watchful like everybody else. But when they would get a lead that leads you somewhere and you would go and search a place and try to find her, and then you come up with nothing, it's difficult. You don't want to give false hope to family, you know, but you want to try and keep them informed and keep them up to date with things. We, you know, because you want to be considerate of their feelings and everything, but you want to keep them involved. So there's times we found bones up in the Ryrie area that someone thought were human bones that ended up being a bear. Bear bones are very, very similar to human bones when they've decayed and everything. And so, you know, there either gets a false generated excitement that, oh, that's Amber, we found her now. And then you end up, it's not, you know, it's a bear. And then that's annoying to me. That's frustrating to me and I just can't imagine, you know, what it's like for the family. And so, you know, that's a thing that's a line that those investigators have to walk and worry about. And you get the gamut of bizarre tips.
I can only imagine.
Psychics and people that are trying to just take advantage of these families when they're having their worst moments, you know, and stepping on their feelings to get a money or something. And so I'm glad that we're there to help sort of weed that out and be a buffer between those things.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, even the most bizarre information, we're going to, you know, try to run that down and be realistic in whether that's a possible a lead or something that is applicable or significant to a case, right?
I think one of the other stereotypes I've seen a lot working on these types of cases is that sometimes from the outside, people think, well, enough years go by and you're just good. And I believe you kind of hit on it. They make peace with it. They have to accept it to move on, but they never forget. And I've come to really realize that grief does not have an expiration date.
No.
They carry that with them. I remember some years ago, Carol Dodge, who's become a good friend, mother of Angie Dodge, said to me that when something like this happens, you get on a bus or a train that you don't really want to be on, and there's no way to get off.
Yeah.
You just learn to live, but it's a new normal, and life never really goes back to the same.
Yeah, and Adam, I imagine you've got nothing's the same, and then you're left with those, well, I wonder what this would have been like had it not happened.
Right.
What this would have been like, and you've got, you know, the year of firsts, you know, the
mm-hmm.
first birthdays,
right.
the first holidays, and that, you know, and it's rough, and, you know, hopefully, one way or another, you have to figure out how to just move forward and move on, because, you know, reality is things are going to happen and could happen at any moment. And, you know, you don't wish that on anybody, but yeah, that's one thing that, you know, in our position that, we've got to remember in those cases.
Right.
And I think it's good to, you know, come on the radio and on a podcast and get that information out, even if it's decades and decades old, you know, because and we may not be able to reveal all the information because it's still active case and active investigation, and you want to preserve integrity of that in case you need to follow through with some sort of prosecution and things like that. There's parameters there you want, because if you do get to that, you want a successful prosecution, right? You want to be solid in your case. If you're catching the bad guy, you don't want to have a technicality that that gets him off, right? You want to have justice done there.
That's not, the name
not
of the
just
game.
Resolution, you know? So, but, you know, talking about it and getting that information, even if someone's like, they don't know, have no way, shape, or form any connection to the Amber Hoops case, but maybe they start listening to other episodes or podcasts about another case and they go, you know, I was in that area and something sparks a memory. And then I've got that, or I was talking to so-and-so and they reminded me of this. And that's what there could be pieces of information out there that people know that they have no idea are significant. We don't know if they're significant, but you just never know. So, you know, that's why it's important to, you know, keep these things alive and keep them active.
Right.
As much as you can.
As much as possible. You know, Sergeant, as you were talking about the Amber Hoops case, it reminded me of a conversation I had a few months back right here in studio with Amber's aunt, Audra, who's done a remarkable job of keeping Amber's case out there in the public eye. Yeah. And she said something that was so profound. And in that moment, it really shattered a stereotype. We often hear, we want the families to have closure. Mm-hmm. But Audra said, it's not really about closure, because how do you really close the book on that kind of a tragedy? Yeah. She said, what you really want is peace, the kind of peace that comes with those answers and the missing pieces of the puzzle coming together.
Yeah.
And that really struck me.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe closure is not the best definition of it.
I've probably spoken in terms of that.
Yeah.
Because we don't really realize. I mean, that's just something that you hear over and over again in the criminal justice arena when you're talking about cold cases. But her, as someone who's walking it, was able to share with us and say, you know, really, I understand what people mean when they say closure.
Yeah.
But as someone who's living it, it's not really closure I'm seeking, it's peace.
Yeah. It's peace. Because it's not like you get to the end and there's a resolution and you forget that it ever happened, right?
Right, you don't.
It's always going to be there still, no matter what. Families still have to move on. They still have to press on and carry forward. And they're still going to have that wonder, what would it have been like if this didn't happen?
Oh, and it goes on and on.
Yeah. So I think that's, you know, she's probably absolutely right. That's a better way to define it. Is I think that's probably what everybody means by saying closure, is that you're finding peace. But to be more accurate, it's probably you're finding a resolution, or you're getting to the bottom of what happened and I don't know, solved is probably not the right term, but you're just helping, you're bringing peace by getting to the resolution of it, or the end of it.
You're so accurate in saying that. It is the resolution and the answers that bring that peace that these families are desperately seeking.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's important. I'll tell you, I speaking for those that have been in that investigator seat and put their blood and sweat in that, I can't imagine how fulfilling that is to get there, when you finally get there and you can help bring that peace to the family by way of resolution. That's got to be extremely fulfilling, even in the worst kind of tragedy, you know. And it's kind of hard to say that you're trying to make a positive out of that. I mean, it's the whole thing is negative, and bringing that resolution and that peace doesn't make it a positive. It's even hard to feel like you're. I would venture to guess that it's hard not to feel guilty about feeling a sense of relief that you've got today as well, because you've got it still carries on. You recognizing that that's what it, that's still there. It's not like it never happened after that point.
And it's such an emotional journey. And as I mentioned, my friend Carol Dodge, one thing that I have admired about her over the years, and she has been on a rough and bumpy journey, and her determination is so inspiring. But when something tragic happens, she reaches out to those victims' families because she's been there.
Yeah.
And even though what I've learned from her and others is every situation is different and everybody deals with it in their own unique way, there is something comforting about having somebody stand there who really truly knows.
Yeah, they've sort of been in that seat and kind of have Carol Dodge has been on a rough and rocky up and down road on that case for a long, long time. And
right.
So like that good honor for helping people understand those emotions, because when those things happen, you're like, this, you know, people are probably like, this is the way I'm feeling. I don't know how to interpret what I'm feeling here, and having someone there to say, hey, it's okay to feel this way.
It's okay.
It's understandable. It's normal, because we can sit across from someone in our capacity as law enforcement and say, you know what, it's normal to feel that way. But and maybe that hopefully that has meaning, but having someone there, a support system, you know, you've got to remember that as well. And maybe coming from that support system is even more important at the time.
And, you know, Sergeant, I mean, one of the reasons that I wanted to launch this Justice Shuffle podcast is because law enforcement work tirelessly on these cases, and often they don't get the appreciation or the gratitude. Yeah. And so I wanted to create something. I had this nagging feeling that would help support them in the effort and keep those cases out there. And, you know, you hit on it a little earlier, and I think we can't overemphasize this enough. You never know. You might have something or remember something and second guess yourself and think, oh, it's probably nothing. But you give that to an investigator, to a detective, and it might just connect the dot to some other information that they already have.
Yeah, you don't know what you don't know.
Isn't that the truth?
And I can tell you, it's fulfilling when you bring those things, when you put all the pieces together and you have a complete case and all that. And cops are built different. They're not looking for a pat on the back from anybody on that. They're real shy about that.
I've noticed that over the years.
And that's okay. I mean, that's their job, and they signed up to do that because they enjoy putting those pieces together. It's fulfilling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy is probably not quite the correct word. I think fulfilling is better. It's fulfilling for their talents and what they do. And I think by and large, they're in the background knowing that they've brought those pieces together is more important than any kind of recognition, you know, they're getting internally. You know, we high five and stuff like that when we're doing good things and we get there. Right. Mm-hmm. But, from my perspective, it's nice to stand back and see the effects of that, you know, are whatever level of positive you want to define it, you know, that it can be, especially out of something very tragic. You know, it's, you can stand back and at least, see some comfort there or something and be part of that. And that it's a process, takes a lot of stuff, takes a lot of people. It's not any one, thing. It's a team effort in every agency. This profession is largely a team effort in so many ways.
It's so true. And I've noticed that over the years, detectives, investigators, any form of law enforcement, they're so dedicated to what they do. And thankfully to all of us, we're lucky enough to have people that have that level of commitment.
Yeah. Yeah. Driven to do, it's a drive for service. You know, it's a service profession. It's a drive to give back and, people have good talents for that. Yes. We're always looking for good people with talents for that and have that drive in that direction. That's very important in what we're looking for as an agency and most agencies is in general, you know. And I think we finding those people and plugging them in is more beneficial to a community. Having solid layers of public safety that are willing to do that is so important in our way of life in our country.
It's very true. These officers really are committed to serving and protecting, and we owe them so much gratitude. Sergeant Brian Lovell, thanks so much for stopping by. It's been fun to kind of chat with you about these cold cases, and I'm sure we'll do it again soon.
Thank you. I enjoy it. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right.